Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we talk about osteoporosis, what it is, what causes it, and how to fix it. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keen, our Director of Training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. We are going to talk about osteoporosis today, and it's a really cool subject because lots of people deal with osteoporosis, osteopenia. I've been at the Perfect Workout for 12, 13 years now. One of the things that I thought was most exciting was when I joined this company, we had tons of testimonials of people that had come to the Perfect Workout with osteopenia, osteoporosis, and over time, and this is not the case for everyone, but that stuff improved, whether it was osteoporosis moving to osteopenia or osteopenia not having osteopenia, and doctors telling our members, hey, you don't need to take that medication anymore for that. And when I've told this story to people in the past, it's not uncommon for people to go, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if you have osteoporosis, it's unfortunate. And maybe there's some things you can do to slow it down or mitigate it. But of course, you can't stop it or even reverse it. And that's not the case when it comes to the evidence we've seen with a lot of our members. So today we're going to talk about what osteoporosis is and how strength training can improve osteoporosis. Can you get into that and the mechanisms there?
Absolutely. So the clue is in the name, osteo, referring to bone tissue, and then porosis, it's porous. You got holes in your bones is the problem, and you're not going to want that. You're going to want your bones to be bony, not holy. So the basic idea is that a bone is not a hard, brittle, solid tissue that everyone thinks it is. When you go to the museum and you see the fossils, or when you see what a skeleton looks like, we think, oh, bone, it's hard, and it's like solid, it's not malleable. But it turns out that bone has several different layers to it, and it's what they call spongiform. It's like it's kind of like a coral reef, and it is hard to the touch, but also bends a little bit, almost like bamboo, bend but don't break. And so you can compress your bone tissue. You can bend your bone tissue. You can expose it to shear forces and sideways forces, and it will accommodate that instead of just snapping and breaking. So wow. Bone is not what we think is this hard, like a rock type thing. It's actually a little bit elastic on the inside.
This is why when you see a cross-section of a bone, it does sort of look like a sponge. I'm like, having been made.
If you look at a microscope close enough, you'll see it's like a lattice work of girders, and it almost looks like setting up a frame outside a house to do some work on it, and you're setting up a scaffolding. So there's scaffolding in your bone, and it's made of collagen, and it's made of calcium, it's made of phosphorus, it's made of all these constituent parts. But the main thing to understand is that osteoporosis is the progressive degradation of the structural integrity of these forms inside the bone.
Okay.
So, the bone is a reactive tissue, and it wants to maintain homeostasis. Just like all the other parts of your body, it reacts to its environment. The primary thing to which it reacts is mechanical loading. And the mechanism works by something called piezoelectricity.
Okay.
And piezoelectricity just means electricity produced by kinetic energy, produced by mechanical stress. So if I turned all the lights off in here and I had a quartz rock and a big pliers, and I put it and we turned off all the lights and I squeezed it hard enough, eventually you would see a spark fly out of the quartz rock. And that's because there's a piezoelectric effect, a voltage produced, electricity produced by my squeezing mechanically on the quartz rock. So that's just an example of what that is. So think about this in your bones. It's hard to think about, but your bones are inside of you and it's dark. And some people even say that that's why dogs like us, because they can smell the bones inside us. And that's why they're our best friends. It's because, oh, one of these days I'm going to get at those bones. So
a little more of it could be true.
A little more, but they are our best friends and they just want the bones. Anyway, so it's dark inside our bodies where the bones are. And when you mechanically stress the bones in any way, there's this piezoelectric voltage that is produced, and that voltage doesn't build new bone tissue, but it's that voltage that is a signaling mechanism, like putting the flare up so that other parts of the body can see what's going on. Oh, there's the voltage that happened. That must mean there's mechanical loading going on. That must mean that we need to produce and lay down new bone tissue. So it's the same thing we've explained on previous podcasts about step 1, step 2, step 3. So step one is the stimulus, step two is the recovery from the stimulus, and step three is the adaptation, if you have the materials and the time to produce it. So what is the stimulus to help with osteoporosis? Because you're correct, it's not chronic and progressive like certain allopathic medical professionals would have you believe. Oh, you got holes in your bones, nothing we could do, sorry.
Just the aging process.
Yeah, that's just getting old. That's just, and no, it's not. It's a failure to consistently place a demand on the bones.
Before you go deeper there, because A, let's talk about that demand. I know everybody knows where we're headed here, right?
Is it strength training?
Is it, yeah, is it any demands? We have to talk about it. But before we go deeper there, it seems like osteoporosis is much more common in women than it is men. Is this because women, as they age, might be less active than men? Is it something to do with hormones? Is it all of the above?
It's a combination of factors. It can be hormonal. Also, on average, as a group, men sustain their ability to produce force with their lower body muscles to a greater degree and longer than, on average, women do as a group.
Okay.
So what this means is if you can't produce that much force, that means you can't lift as much weight, which means you can't apply as much force to the bone.
Okay.
So it just ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy because within a group, so the strongest man to the weakest man, and there's a bell curve because strength is distributed in a bell curve across a population, the weakest men have the hardest time hanging on to bone because they deal with the lightest weights and they don't challenge themselves and their muscles can't even contract that forcefully. And as a result, the bones tend to respond to that.
So back to the example of the rock. You can't just sort of hold a rock and slightly squeeze it with maybe some small tweezers. It sounds like you're getting to this idea that the stimulus matters. It must be potent enough to stimulate that signaling system to the bones. What does that look like and how does it look like?
So we know what it is in the femur, which is the upper leg bone. We know that when it's loaded axially, like through a cylinder,
okay,
cylinders here, axially loaded, when you compress the bone, the femur bone, there's a threshold beyond which new bone growth will be stimulated and below which it will not. And the research was done by Dr. John Jaquish's group with the biodensity machines in the, I want to say late 90s or maybe early aughts, somewhere in that time period. And he was able to find that it was 4.2 times your body weight loaded axially through your bones. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's crazy. I'm never going to lift 4.2 times my body weight, and you're in luck. You don't have to lift anything. What he was measuring was the amount of force that could be produced at a position of maximal mechanical advantage. And what he used was what he calls the landing position, the impact ready position.
Okay.
And you jump, and when you land, your knee will be at a certain angle that is most that is best suited for absorbing force. So if you put someone in a machine and have them produce force isometrically without moving at that knee angle, and it's like six or seven degrees off of 180, off of straight, so just a little bit off of straight, you'll be able to produce the greatest amount of force. And in that context, you can pretty easily, within a couple weeks, train yourself to produce over 4.2x your body weight. Now, this is where our FastFit machines are the best thing possible for bone density for that reason. So based on that research, okay, you need 4.2x your body weight. Well, everybody has their concentric strength, the amount of strength they can produce while their active muscles shorten, like when you're lifting a weight. Even more than that is the amount of force we can produce isometrically against a non-moving resistance, an active muscle that does not contract or expand. And that's what I just described with the biodensity machines, which FastFit machines can do that. And then the most force of which we are, the greatest amount of force of which we are capable is the force that's produced by an active muscle as it's lengthening.
Okay.
So that's eccentric. The eccentric force.
When you're lowering a weight.
Correct. When you're lowering a weight. Or in the case of FastFit, when you are resisting an irresistible force, the force production that will be elicited from that effort is the greatest force of which any muscle is capable because of the sliding filament theory of how we contract. So if it's true that bones respond to a piezoelectric current and a piezoelectric current is produced based on mechanical loading, and if it's true that the greatest mechanical loading of which we're capable is during a maximal eccentric contraction, it would then stand to reason that our FastFit machines are the best tool available for improving those holes in your bones, for signaling the body to lay down new and better bone tissue. You need that stimulus. And so
tell me a little bit
you know, we're on year 26 now at the Perfect Workout, which is phenomenal. Tens of thousands, I don't know the numbers now, of members, lives changed. And on our Nautilus machines, it's like an included in your package. If you exercise and strength train here, you're going to get the stimulus you need to impact your bones as well.
Right.
So on this end of the spectrum, we talked about isokinetics, which of course, by now, I think most of our members know, we really feel like this technology is something we want to continue to move into. And at the same time, you don't have to go into one of our flagship studios, our Nautilus studios, and say, hey, by the way, I want to make sure you add on the bone density package and the protocol for that. Can you speak to that? Why?
Yep. So what we've noticed, and this is a little bit, and I know we have a future episode coming out about the difference between evidence-based and science-based. We have observed people using the Nautilus machines improving their bone density. Mm-hmm. But if you look at these people's charts, they're not lifting and lowering 4.2 times their body weight. So what gives? And it turns out that those people in that study, that was the threshold, but that study, it wasn't like a study of 10 million people.
Right.
It was a well-powered study. It achieved statistical significance, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it applies to everybody all the time. So it's a piece of evidence, right? But science-based is like the scientific method. That's observe, hypothesis. You test the hypothesis, you have a conclusion, and then you build a new hypothesis. So over 26 years, since 1999, the Perfect Workout has been observing that many, many, many people are improving their bone density just using weights. And so that's good for us in two ways. One, it's an observable fact that we have these DEXA scans that are improving, where you're taking people who are in osteoporosis and 1 year later, all of a sudden they're at the border between osteopenia mm-hmm. and then being normal. So they're reversing the degradation of the bone using weights. Cool, great. So that gives you some hypothesis. Well, how could that be? We have this one study saying that the threshold is 4.2x body weight. And for those people, all the FastFit machines, you're getting that mm-hmm. just baked into the cake. It's just regular old reps. You eventually, within 3 to 6 months, you're cranking out that much more than your body weight in a leg press. But then for the weightlifting ones, it's like you're never getting to 4.2 times your body weight, but we are seeing the DEXA scans improve. So it's really just the basic principle is the important part. The first principle is you load the bones and the bones respond. The degree to which the bones respond is the degree to which you have high quality contractions against muscle and the degree to which you load the bones with mechanical force.
So let's wrap this up with probably the most biased statement I will ever make, which is probably saying something because everything I say is biased. Yeah. Today. When you're dealing with osteoporosis, when you're dealing with osteopenia, you need to have a pretty potent, heavy stimulus on the bones. And you can do that any number of ways. But it's sort of a paradox that you're going to be prescribed putting that sort of energy and pressure on the bones in many different ways. And it could be jumping up and down. And you're doing that at a time where your bones are not as strong as they once were.
Ugh.
Right? So from my perspective, and I think this episode kind of wraps up the idea here, if you're dealing with osteoporosis, if you're dealing with osteopenia, if you want to avoid osteopenia or osteoporosis, especially if you're dealing with times in your life where hormones are being, you know, manipulated and changed, menopause, for example, strength training at the Perfect Workout, slow, heavy to failure, is the safest, most effective way to improve or stop or slow down osteoporosis as you age. So there it is. In the comments, you can tear that up if you'd like, but I've seen it happen time and time again, and it's a beautiful thing.
I love it.
Jim, thanks for all the cool sciencey words and things.
Yeah, me talk pretty one day.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. See you soon.
I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.